little different. We do on Wednesday night, and we gathered around, and we got closer to each other and closer to the prayer benches. And I said, I want you to pray for me. I said, there's at least two gentlemen that I don't know if they're saved or not, and I want you to pray for me that the Lord would give me strength and courage to talk to these men about their need of Christ. I think within less than 2 weeks, I'm almost confident in less than 2 weeks, I put forth the effort, made the special effort, and I talked to one of those men. And the other man, I had just let it go. I had just let it go. So yesterday morning, I got up and I thought, a week is about gone. I've challenged my people to do this, and I thought, you know, if I'm not very careful, I will procrastinate again, and I will not witness and talk to this individual about their need of the Lord. There have been times when this dear gentleman would come early to the store and be waiting out front, sitting in a chair, sitting in his truck, and I thought, boy, this morning would be a great morning for this dear gentleman to come. And I'll just scoot in beside him, take 3 or 4 minutes, and I'll talk to him about the Lord. Well, that didn't happen. And up around 2 o'clock, I was at the counter, me and another guy working, and here this gentleman comes in the door. Steps are getting slow. And I waited on him and sold him the merchandise he needed. And about that time, the guy that was helping me exited the counter, and I thought, my, I've got to hurry, and my mind was just, you know how your mind does. And in a few minutes, Brandon came back to the counter, and I had that opportunity. I mean, there it was. Now, to be honest with you, I don't talk a lot about the Lord and religion on the job. Sometimes I don't think it's the wisest thing that you can do. And I know I'm hard there to work and not to preach. I understand that. And I try to consider all of that. But I felt at liberty. And I walked outside. And he wasn't driving that day. That's a little unusual. But his wife was sitting in the truck. And he was standing by the truck. And I called him a name. And I said, Do you go to church anywhere? He said, no. I said, have you ever been saved? And he said, I have. I said, you don't go to church. He said, I went when I was young. I said, I just take interest in you, and I want to know that you're ready to meet the Lord. He says, it ain't going to be long, is it? And he says, I'm ready. And I tell you, that eased me. So I'm not being mean to you tonight. Don't give up. It takes prayer. Just let me say this. I don't practice fasting. Been a long time. Long, long time since I practiced fasting. But it might take a little fasting. It might take some real effort. Don't give up on what you purpose to do last Sunday night. Pray again. Do what it takes, because this is so important to you and it's so important to them. I was sharing in the prayer room tonight when I was a young man. I had just gotten saved, and I've never really been to soul winning school, any seminars and such, but God burdened my heart to be a soul winner. When I got saved, God burdened my heart to be a soul winner. So one old fall, wintry night, I drove a mile and a half up to a neighbor's house. And I said to him, who knows what for sure, but I talked to him about his soul. And he was just as kind and nice as he could be. And he said these words to me. I'll never forget it. He said, it's hard for me to believe something that I can't see. And it wasn't many months thereafter, one morning when I was at the barn milking, that was while I was in the dairy business, and a pickup truck pulled up in the front of the milk barn, and he got out, and it was that very gentleman. And he said, I wanted to come by and tell you that I got saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's the joy of my life, is reaching people with the gospel of Christ. And I want to be a soul winner. I want to reach people with the gospel. You want to be a soul winner. It don't come easy. I believe the devil fights soul winning more than anything that there is, because they're his. They're his children. They're his servants. He don't want to lose them. He fights that. So I challenge you tonight, don't ever give up. It may take another prayer. It may take some fasting. It may take some moving up to the Lord. It may take really humbling your heart before God. But don't let your friends, don't let your loved ones slip through your fingers and go into eternity without the Lord. I just really felt like asking that, and I felt like saying that tonight. Now, real briefly, in 1 Peter chapter number 5, I take up my reading in verse number 8 again, and just a few thoughts tonight, just a few thoughts from the wonderful word of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Last Sunday night, I talked about the devil. And I mentioned these truths concerning him. I said we're to respect him. Michael, the archangel, in disputing about the body of Moses, he durst not bring railing accusation against him. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. So we are to have a certain regard, a certain respect to the devil. Understand him. We're to regard him, respect him. We're to recognize him. I dealt from Ephesians chapter number 6, how he was such an organized, how he was such of a leader of an organized army of demons and servants, and opposes you and I in our Christian life. The third thing I said, we were to resist him. And that's a little bit what I want to pick up on real quickly tonight, is we are to resist him. We are to learn to say no. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for you to do, is to simply say no. When you're tempted to do things that are not right, the best thing to do is not flirt with sin, not dibble and dabble and consider, but immediately you are to resist that temptation. The thing that got Eve in trouble was she began to reason with Satan instead of resisting the devil as he approached her. Now, we are to resist him. I thought tonight, one of the greatest Bible verses that I know of, honestly, I probably say this about a lot of Bible verses, one of the greatest Bible verses that I know of in the Old Testament is in the book of Daniel, chapter number 1 and verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat and the king's wine. He purposed in his heart that he'd not defile himself. What about that? Isn't that great? My, just learn to have a purpose, you know, that you're not going to do certain things. There's some things I'm not going to do. There's some things, if you want, you ought to be. There are some things in life that you're not going to do. You've done purpose in your heart before the temptation comes that you're not going to give in to that temptation. So may the Lord help us to learn to resist the devil and the temptation that he sends our way. Now let's notice the next verse said, whom resist, that's verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Everybody faces temptation. Everybody might not face temptation to a certain degree, to the same degree. But all of us deal with the same kind of temptation. I taught last Wednesday or last Sunday night how we're to use the Word of God. You remember that? That's important that you learn to use the Word of God in resisting the devil. I challenge you to study the Word, learn the Word, know the Word, memorize the wonderful Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man take heed, cleanse his way by taking heed unto the Word of God. The Word, it's a weapon we use. In fact, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer are those offensive weapons that we use against the devil. The rest of it are defensive weapons. They're the armor that we put on that resists the darts and the thoughts and so on. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and prayer are those offensive weapons that we use against the devil. Let's move on. Verse number 10. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. To those who have care in their life, to those who are dealing with temptation, to those that are struggling in life, isn't it wonderful to know that there is a God of all grace tonight? Oh, how comforting to weak, sinful, needy men that our God is a God of all grace. God's grace is manifold, and it meets every situation of life. Amen. You know, tonight, I think about a lot of things that might happen in life. And I know when you get our age, we're senior folk now, and when you get there, you begin to think about things and consider things more, certainly much more than you did 20, 25 years ago. And there's some things that, as Mona said tonight, we have our fears. Somebody said, well, you know, if you're Christian, you don't have fears. The greatest apostle that ever preached besides the Lord Jesus said, without were fighting, within were fears. We have those. But aren't you glad, neighbor, when it comes time to deal with whatever you've got to deal with, our God is a God of all grace. Amen. He gives you exactly what you need. I'm glad for the marvelous grace of God, all grace, the God of all grace. Somebody said, whatever begins with grace, God's grace will always lead to God's glory. I put a question mark after that. I thought, is that really, really true? Think about it. Probably is. Whatever begins with God's grace will always lead to God's glory. Amen. You know, truly, if we depend on the grace of God when we suffer, and this book is about suffering, this chapter's about suffering somewhat. And when we suffer, if we'll depend on the good grace of God, it will result in God being glorified. It will result in the glory of our Lord. Now, we think about these trials and sufferings. That's what we have. It's connected with this God of all grace. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that you've suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I thought tonight coming to church, I thought, you know, really, we just really don't hardly suffer enough to really appreciate anything much about the grace of God in suffering. I'm very seldom, am I ridiculed for being a preacher. Thank God for the Bible Belt. Thank God for folk that believe in the Lord and believe the Bible. I'm glad to live here. I mean, praise God, this is a good place to live. And you know, we're folk, a lot of people love God. A lot of people believe in God. They're sinner people that believe in God. I'm telling you, I don't suffer a lot down here. Very little have I ever suffered in my life. Very little have you ever suffered because you're a Christian. I'm not talking about headaches. I'm not talking about toe ache. But I'm talking about suffering for the simple fact that you love Jesus and you're a Christian. There's not a whole lot of suffering like that, but there is some. And may I say, when we suffer, there's a reason for what goes on in your life. There's a reason. Somebody ridicules you, makes a little fun of you, calls you Miss Preacher, or calls you Miss Christian, or old fogey, or whatever it might be. And, of course, they got new slang and new languages today. And I ain't really learned a lot of it and really ain't interested in learning a lot of it. Amen. Well, hallelujah, but I'm telling you, different world we live in now. But you'll run into some opposition if you live for God close enough. You keep telling people about Jesus, somebody give you a good cussing one of these days. Amen. And you keep telling folks about Jesus, somebody ain't going to like it. Amen. I will tell you, be good for you. Be good for you. Take your stand on what you believe. Personal conviction based on the Bible. Now, I have preferences, but then I have some biblical conviction. There is difference in preferences and biblical convictions. And I want to tell you, friend, when it comes to biblical conviction and what you believe about the Bible, you are to stand for it, sink or swim, of all the opposition you face. You still are to stand for God and live for God, irregardless of what's said about what you believe. The Bible said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Amen. That means that you're not one of those that let it all loose sometimes. You're not one of them that, you know, a little church on Sunday and a whole lot of the world on Monday. You're moderate. You're moderate in your language. You're moderate in your conduct. You're moderate in your dress. You're moderate. And let your moderation be known unto all men, is what the Word of God had to say. And when you live like that, we'll probably face a little bit of opposition and some suffering along the way. But there's a purpose in it. God is doing something in your life. I heard Brother Benny Wittenbarger, and he shared the same truth here in my absence, and I don't care if he shares it again and again, because it's such a wonderful truth. But I've heard Brother Benny tell about the rose bushes they set out in their yard years ago, and I think there were three of those, and I'm pretty sure that's what he said. And he said two of them, you know, they said, oh, well, the way pretty good. But one of them sat pretty close to the drive, and it got run over, and it got abused, and it got roughed up a lot. And you know which one he said had the most roses and the beautiful roses? It wasn't them over yonder that was protected, but it was that now yonder that had to rough it. Amen? What I'm trying to say to you tonight, some of this rough stuff's going to be good for you if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus and be faithful unto God. It's amazing what God's going to do for some of your lives if you'll just stay with God. Some of you young people live for God at the school house. Some of you young folk, be faithful to God. Some of you senior folk, I mean, take up your cross and be faithful to God. Some of you moms and dads that seem to be going through the fire, trial upon trial. I'm telling you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay with the Lord. Trust in the God that can give you all grace to bear the burden. I'm telling you, it's not just happening, but there's a God that's in control, and he's working in your life, and God's going to do something in the final outcome of the thing. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to make you perfect. He's going to make you perfect. That means to equip. That means to adjust. I think a lot of us need some adjusting. We have our customers to bring those steel products back. Sometimes there's major problems. A lot of times there's nothing wrong with it. It's just got gummed up and stopped up. What do they call that thing? The spark arrester. You know, that's something the government had put on them so you don't catch your woods on fire. Have you ever caught your woods on fire with a weed eater? Eye? But that's what the government had done. And so it gets stopped up, and then they come in cussing steel because they won't run. Amen? And you know, really, a lot of times all the mechanic has to do is unstop it and turn a few screws and adjust it and tune it up. And man, he'll run like a Singer sewing machine when he gets done with it. You know what it needed? It just needed some cleaning out. Just needed some cleaning out. Just needed a little adjustment. Every now and then, the Lord has to let us go through some hardship and some trials just to get us cleaned out, get us straightened up, tune us. That's literally what it means. In fact, it's interesting me to understand and to know that this same word that we have here to make you perfect is the very same word when those disciples were out there in the boat and the Lord come to them and he was fixing to call them to service and they were mending their nets. It's the same word, make you perfect. Same word, translated, mended their nets, translated, make you perfect. I'm telling you, friend, our nets get holes in them. But the Lord can fix all of that. He makes you perfect. That don't mean sinless. Amen. Only way I know of to live above sin is move on top of the liquor store. Amen. I don't preach that we ought to practice sin. I don't preach that you have to sin. I just preach that we do sin. Amen. Because that's the truth of the whole matter, is we do sin, and if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we say we have never sinned, we make God a liar about the whole thing. For God said we'd all sin, amen. Just a bunch of sinners rot, amen. But sometimes God has to mend our nets. Amen, that's right. Make you perfect. Establish. He wants to make you perfect. He wants to establish you. That means to fix firmly, not unsteady. In our stand for the Lord, the believer who is established will not be moved by persecution or be led away by false doctrine. One prominent religion in our country that does a lot of door-to-door work, a lot of those people will tell you, I used to be a Baptist, but I seen the light. What they've done was they used to be a Baptist, but they weren't solid in the teaching of the Word of God, and they believed the lie that there is no eternal punishment. They believe the lie that Jesus Christ is not very God come in the flesh. And neighbor, they wasn't settled. They wasn't established. They didn't have what I got because I'll never deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't believe you will either. That's what it means. The God of all grace, that's what you've suffered. make you perfect, establish, strengthen. Don't have to explain that. He gives us the grace to meet every demand of life. I say He gives us the grace to meet every demand of life. God of all grace. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to strengthen us. And then He wants to settle us. And that comes from a word that means to lay a foundation. You say, it sounds to me like the same thing, establish. No, there's difference. Amen. When you are established, and then when you get settled, praise God, the storms can come. Well, Jesus said, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me, and believeth my word and acts upon it, He said, I will liken him to a man that built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, but it didn't fall because it was built on a rock. And that's the thought that I'm preaching tonight. Maybe we're talking about God establishing you, and your life is not built upon some flimsy religion or somebody that's dead. Praise God, it's built on a solid foundation, the wonderful Word of God, and the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Settle you. God wants to do that. God builds character and brightens hope when a believer will depend entirely upon His grace. A few closing remarks, I'm done. He's the God of all grace. What about this? My, that one like you and I that has offended against God's righteous laws, and then we repent of our transgression, I tell you, we find in this representation of the God of all grace, we find the ground for approaching the divine presence. Amen. I mean God, the God of all grace. Oh, friend, what a blessing to be able, because He's the God of all grace, in spite of our failures, in spite of our sin, in spite of our mistakes, my, what a blessing to know that He's the God of all grace. And we can come to Him and He gives us grace. Oh, in closing tonight, now we need grace. We need grace. We need pardon and grace because we have sinned. Amen. There's a lot of us could do like the prodigal and say, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Man, a lot of us could come that way tonight. Could we not? I mean, we need pardon and grace. We need renewing grace. Amen. That's right. It's amazing. Boy, it really is. It's amazing how you can get that life, that hope, and that faith. I remember in the days gone by preaching meetings. Man, when I preach meetings, I try to put everything. I mean, if I go to somebody else's church preaching meetings, I try to put everything I've got in it to help that pastor and help him people and to see their people saved. I try to put everything I've got into it. And I tell you, I've got to move up to God. I get fired up. I mean, man, I get cleaned up. I get prayed up. I get to where I can sense God's presence. I try to get to where I can feel heaven on my soul. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. That's just the way it happens. I think, you know, gotta go back to work Monday. Amen. But I'm gonna keep this. I'm gonna keep this fire burning. First day you do all right. And then you get off guard, and the next thing you know, things begin to happen, confusion, problems, burdens. And the next thing you know, you're as dry as last year's bird's nest. Cold, man, as a December frost. I mean, just, and you know, were it not for God's amazing grace, he'd leave us out yonder. Wasn't for God's grace, I mean, you wouldn't, hey, if it wasn't for God's grace, you wouldn't ever feel his presence and power and joy again. But thank God, God gives us grace. Amen. I'm telling you, there's that restoring grace. That's that renewing grace. That's what I'm looking for. Amen. There's strengthening grace. Strengthening grace. I mean, when you know you need to do something, when you know that's what God wants you to do, and you're struggling with that thing, and it's begin a real battle with you, and you just need the strength of God. I've experienced some of that. Amen. Amen. I'm thinking of the story now. I've told it a lot, but I'll not tell it tonight. There's grace when death comes. There's grace when your loved ones die. There's grace when sickness comes. There's grace when disappointments come. There's grace when problems come. I'm telling you, there's grace. There's grace. There's strengthening grace. How in the world? How in the world can you go on? It's the grace of God. Strengthening grace. How we need that. There's consoling grace. Consoling grace. Amen. How many times a little old boy, life offered him a hard time. He's at wit's end. Feels like nobody really cares. He's broke. He's empty. His life's in a mess. And so he pulls up to his best friend and he said, "Mom, I'm just so weary." And he begins to pour his heart out. And he begins to unload all his burdens. And Mama says, "Son, I love you. It'll be okay. It'll work out." Did you know what? There's been times in church problems. There's been times in different situations of life. I'm not saying literally, but it was as if the Lord said, "Take care of you. You've made some failures, but you love me, and you've tried hard, and I'm going to open some doors for you, and you're going to be able to reach some souls, and God's going to fix this thing. It'll be all right." That's consoling grace. Amen. God, did you know he's called the Comforter? Not just to give him some name, but that's the work he does. Comforter. Amen. I'll not leave you comfortless. That means as orphans. I'll not leave you like a little old baby that his mama's got killed in a car wreck and don't have a clue where his daddy's at. He said, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter." I've been told that means another just like me. Not of another kind. Another comforter. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Comforter has come. I believe he lives in my heart. I believe he lives. That's he took up his presence there when you received him by faith. This thing of God is more than religion to me. It's more than a feeling. It is a fact that God is with us and in us and for us. And someday he's going to come to get us and we'll forever be with us. God of all grace, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle. I ain't lost a word of faith. Do you know somebody in your life that you watched their life? And you've seen them in their trials, and you've seen them in their hard times. And it's just like clockwork. They stayed with God. Foundation. Did you know that's what God wants to do for you? Because they're moving out, and these younger ones are coming along behind them, and they're going to need somebody to be that solid one to look to. Amen. I'm confident that when I got saved, people begin to hear it. And I'm confident there was people that said, wondered how long that'll last. But I'm glad what I got lasts for all eternity. I got eternal life. I got sealed with the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads. I'm done. I hope you got something. Amen. Don't have to go through life inconsistent. Up and down, no victory, no joy, off and on like a light bulb. Man, you can let God work in your life, and he'll do these very things for you. Amen. Amen. If you're going through perplexing times, somebody's been there. Probably somebody going through about the same thing right now. Because of God of all grace. And that's going to determine the outcome of the whole thing is what you do with the grace of God. What you do with the grace of God is going to determine the outcome of what you're going through right now. I say again, what you do with the grace of God is going to determine the outcome of what you're going through right now. Father, thank you for your help. Bless the invitation tonight. Help your people.